We're going to bring in our next guest to talk more about what happened yesterday in the vote. Is Senator Heather Summers. Heather, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Great. Nice to hear from you. How's everything going?
It's going okay, and I only have a few minutes this morning because we're running a little behind, but I just wanted to speak to some of the things that have much misinformation. The first thing is this bill that was presented to us would require that folks that have taken a religious exemption, and I want to be clear, if you take a religious exemption of the X amount of vaccines, you might have just missed one because of the contents of the vaccine. Many of the folks that are taking religious exemptions are vaccinated on, let's say, 10 out of 12, but they're taking two they're not going to take because of the deep religious beliefs. But the Department of Public Health is lumping that all into unvaccinated religious exemptions. They're not doing the deep dive into the data that we need to make good policy decisions.
Why?
That's a good question. We've asked for that data. We haven't gotten it. All of the Republicans and a few of the Democrats believe that this bill is going too far, too soon, without adequate data.
Too fast.
The other thing that is very much misleading is when we hear about these schools that, you know, 100 of them have less than 95% vaccination rates. You can have a school of 60 kids, and if two kids have a religious exemption where maybe they're not getting one of the vaccines, that school is now completely out of sync. You know, 80% of the kids, only 80% are vaccinated. So that's misleading data. The other thing that this bill touches upon is if you are someone who has a religious exemption, they're only going after the religious exemptions. There's also a whole class of children that are what we would consider under-vaccinated, meaning that they are not up to date where they need to be on their vaccinations. That total population, with that total population, we are still at 95% vaccinated in the state of Connecticut. There is no public health risk. There has not been an outbreak. And under those circumstances, why are we pushing this bill so quickly, so fast, without having the appropriate data? And I believe after sitting through 22 hours of listening to folks that have deep religious convictions, that it would be wrong to take away someone's religious right to vaccinate or not vaccinate based on their religious belief when we do not have a crisis here in the state of Connecticut.
So, Heather,
that's what this bill is about. And also, if it went through September of this year, you would have to have all your vaccinations, which is about 72, or else you are kicked out of public school in Connecticut and private school in Connecticut.
All right, so what I don't understand is for those legislators who voted in favor of this bill yesterday in committee, what was their reasoning? Was there an overwhelming reason that people were saying, well I'm going to vote to support this bill, when testimony offered by those at the public who gave their provided their testimony at the public hearing last week more or less overwhelmingly were against it?
Well, I want to say two things. First of all, I am not an anti-vax person. I am vaccinated. I'm married to a heart doctor. We believe in vaccines.
No, and I'm vaccinated as well, sure.
We also believe in religious freedom and choice. Mm-hmm. This is about a parental choice to make for your child. I will say that what we heard from the Democrats who supported this bill, we know the bill isn't perfect. There's a lot of things that are wrong with it. There's a lot that we need to do, but we're going to vote for it at a committee. We're going to fix it as we go. We're going to make amendments on the fly. Yeah. You know how that works.
Yeah.
Nobody can understand what the push is in a short session. All the Republicans are willing to have a conversation. We're willing to sit down. We want to have the correct data. We want to do what is the right thing to do to help the immunization rates go up in the pockets in Connecticut that are under vaccinated, but we don't want to take away someone's religious choice.
Yeah.
That is the defining moment here.
Exactly. So where does this bill go from here?
You know, after 22 hours of testimony from over 600 people, when 3,000 people were in that Capitol, We had a bill on our desk in less than 48 hours, and none of us got to see it. It was just put on our desk, put on the agenda, and yesterday we waited around from 10 in the morning till nearly 3 in the afternoon before they could try to make all these fixes to get their people to support it.
So where does the bill go from here, Heather? Hello? Heather?
I'm sorry?
Where does the bill go from here?
So the bill comes out of committee,
yep.
And it will go to the House. They have offered to put a working group together to try to allow people to have input, because the Republicans have not had any input to date. The only input that they have provided as to let's slow it down, let's get the data, has been rejected. Then it will go to the House. It will start there and move through legislature.
And who knows? I mean, it may or may not get called. And even if it gets voted on in the House and they vote in support of it, doesn't necessarily mean that the Senate will even take it up, let alone vote in favor of it.
That is true. I do want to be clear to people that are listening that the people that came to testify, some people who are proponents of this bill like to classify them all as, quote, anti-vaxxers. That is not what we heard. We heard from people with deep religious exemptions. Yes, we heard from some people who are just dead set against vaccines. I am not one of them. We have heard from people with children that have autoimmune disorders that do not fit into the medical exemption,
mm-hmm.
That are not able to get a medical exemption because of the very specific criteria. And therefore, they have chosen not to vaccinate their child because of the autoimmune diseases that their children have.
Right.
We also heard from MIT doctors, from bioethicists. We heard from molecular biologists from Johns Hopkins University. So this was not what they want to classify. And I've heard it repeatedly all over social media today, you know, pandering to a fringe group. This was not a fringe group. Many of the folks are, you know, highly, highly skilled, highly educated in the medical field. But this is a choice that they're making either based on their deep religious conviction,
right,
or what they consider the welfare of their child.
Sure.
We have an opportunity to increase immunization rates if we do it correctly, but I do not believe that pulling away someone's religious exemption is the way to go. We need to educate the pockets that are under vaccinated. We need to make those vaccines more readily available for those individuals. We heard repeatedly from example, a single mother who just cannot get her child to the pediatrician to get that booster for the vaccine, those types of things. We don't even know if the data is accurate coming out of the school system.
And that's part of the problem.
Top of it.
You know, no one's looking at the data to make an educated vote. You would need this data that's not even available, yet they're still voting in favor of it regardless.
Right, and the Department of Public Health has not even had a conversation with the Department of Education. So if this bill went through the way it originally, you know, was written, we would have nearly 7,800 students just thrown out of school with no way to educate them. Those that have IEPs, that have a special needs student that does not want to get vaccinated for whatever particular reason, they would not be able to get the services that they need at home. Basically, they've said, if you don't do what the government says, you can stay home and educate your kid.
That's exactly it. And I've been saying that all along, even last week. It's more the issue of the government overreach. That's where the issue for me is. Everybody's chemistry is different. You can talk to one family that vaccinates, and there's not an issue. There's not a problem
Absolutely.
At all. You can talk to somebody that lives up the road, and their chemistry, their biological makeup is completely different, obviously, and they do have a negative reaction to vaccines. There's no right or wrong because we're all individuals. Individuals that have our own unique biological chemistry makeup, you know?
Right. And this bill is not about whether vaccines are safe or not. This bill is the government deciding that your child needs to get 72 vaccinations before that child is eligible for public school. And some of the vaccines that are required are not even diseases that are transmittable, tetanus. So if my child did not get a tetanus shot, I would not be able to send my child to school. I mean, this, you know, let's identify the diseases that are communicable, that are transmittable in the school system, you know, before we prevent somebody from going to school because they don't have a tetanus shot. That's the kind of detail that is left out of this particular bill.
All right, so my final...
I would also like to make sure people understand that there are medical doctors on the Republican side that have voted against this bill. This is not an anti vaccine bill. This is an anti-government overreach.
Right.
No, getting rid of parental choice, getting rid of religious exemption, and getting rid of your right to an education bill.
Right. That's, I've been saying that all along. So my final question to you, Heather, is this. If you've got a child and you're vaccinated, your child's vaccinated, they go to school and they're in a class with a child who's not vaccinated. And let's just say hypothetically that that non-vaccinated child catches something. But your child is vaccinated. Is there any other risk that that can pose?
Well, the child that is unvaccinated would be at a higher risk, and depending on what the disease is.
But as far as transmitting that disease.
Spread that to someone else. But I'd like to caution people, because we've heard that we've had measles in Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
We had 4 cases of measles last year, and they were from adults from overseas.
Yeah.
So the Department of Public Health right now has the ability, should there be, God forbid, let's say an outbreak of measles in a school system. That an outbreak is not defined. By the CDC, it's defined as more of the disease than we typically see. So that could be one case.
Mm-hmm.
They have the ability right now to execute what they call quarantine. We've done that before when we've had cases or suspected cases of Ebola in Connecticut, and it works. What that means is a parent would not be able to send their child to school for 21 days until the outbreak has subsided.
Mm-hmm.
If they are not vaccinated, every single parent that we talk to, whether they're taking a religious exemption or a, you know, have decided to not vaccinate because of an autoimmune or some other disorder, is okay with that.
Yeah. Okay.
So this still needs a lot of work. If you listen to those who supported it, they admitted this still needs a ton of work. There's a lot more to do, but they pushed it through.
Yeah, but they still voted for it. I hated that. When I was there, I'd always hear that. You know, well, we want to keep the conversation going. Oh, we want to keep the argument going. Oh, it's a step in the right direction, and so I'm going to vote for it so that we can work on it. No, folks, you work on it prior to the vote. But then again, Heather, this is what I tell people all the time. This is what you get when you've got one party rule, and they want to,
exactly,
and they feel the power, and they want to control your life and tell you how to run your life. You know, because they think they know best. This is the problem. They don't do their due diligence. They don't do diligence, and they just shove things down our throats.
Absolutely. And that's why this is, you know, we heard people talk about this was the most important public policy vote that they will cast in their legislative career. Some people that have been there a very long time. So why are we rushing it? Why don't we, I would like to just have this bill go nowhere, start over, and make sure that when we pass something, we do the right thing.
Yeah, and get the data in, and maybe next year when there's a longer session, more time can be put into it rather than take one of the most important votes that a legislator could ever take, and they're going to do it in a short session without the accurate data and vote in
and
favor
we'll
to do something.
And we'll keep pushing it through and try to amend it. We'll try to make it better.
That's sick. That's government abuse. Of overreach. I got to let you go.
So now
but,
you know why we all voted no.
Thanks so much for being with us this morning.
Have a good one.
You do
Bye-bye.
The same. That's Senator Heather Summers from the Public Health Committee. Okay.